Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tuppers Plains, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today, because according to Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust this message will increase your faith as you listen to what God has for you today. God bless and enjoy. Praise God. Awesome. What a great time of worship this morning. We just give God glory and honor. You know, last week I had a message prepared and wasn't able to be here. I really appreciate Pastor Otis standing in and sharing. Did a great job. But, yes. But I really wanted to share this message. I wanted to do it on the traditional Christian celebration of Pentecost. Now, we base our celebration of both Easter, which is surrounds the time of Passover from a Jewish perspective. We refer to it as Resurrection Sunday, which is more appropriate than Easter. But it's been set on the calendar. It's a tradition. How many know that traditions are not always bad? How many know that traditions are not always good? Okay, come on. We have to recognize that tradition is just tradition. It's a tool that helps us learn and understand some things that we should understand from a biblical perspective. And when we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, we have it as a set time on the calendar from the Gregorian perspective rather than from a Jewish calendar, which Passover varies from year to year at the time when it is celebrated based on the phases of the moon. Hopefully I haven't confused anybody this morning. Passover is every year at a different time. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday, which Jesus died on Passover, came back to life on first fruits, became our unleavened bread, the first fruits of the dead, the resurrection, during those three feasts in the spring. And that's what we celebrate as the time of resurrection. And then 50 days later, based on the Jewish mandate, or based on the mandate that God gave the Israelites when Moses led them out of Israel, or out of Egypt, into the promised land, 50 days later is the celebration of Shavuot, or what we refer to as Pentecost. And last week, on the Gregorian calendar, we celebrated Pentecost. However, the actual celebration of Pentecost this year was on May the 25th, beginning at sundown, and ended on May the 27th at sundown. So I just want you to understand that, you know, we have tradition as Christians, and our traditions are not evil or are bad things. It's things that we have established in order for us to try to understand and celebrate. We want to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came, He died, He came back to life, He defeated death and hell, so we should celebrate it every year. But there's something that we miss. We miss, and it's probably because of the tradition of some of the liturgical churches, the way they celebrate Pentecost. We miss out, as evangelicals, many times we miss out on the celebration of Pentecost and what took place during that time. Because it's an awesome birth of the Church of Jesus Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. It's the beginning of what we are doing right now, this morning, a continuation of it. A lot of people say, well, you know, that was a transition period. Well, yeah, it was a transition period, but I can tell you this, that transition period has never ended. We're still in transition. We're transitioning to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is so important. That's why the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit is so important to believers today. We are sealed by the Spirit. But there's more to it than just receiving Christ as our personal Savior. There's much more to it. There's power in the name of Jesus. And if we're not careful, we will become religious about our understanding of the Holy Spirit, of Holy Spirit coming, of Holy Spirit empowering, of Holy Spirit moving in our lives. And it will just be another Sunday. Man, I feel like this Sunday, it's just another Sunday. Where's the power? Where's the excitement of serving the Lord? Where's the expectation that God is going to do something in this place? And not only in this place, but when you leave this place and you go out there into your life, that God's going to show up. That testimony that Joanne gave about, you know, God providing. That's the real Christian experience. That's life in the Spirit. That's the power of God. He wants you, He wants me, He wants us to experience that every day. And when we come into this place on Sundays, it's not just another humdrum Sunday. It's a time to experience and celebrate the power of Holy Spirit that lives inside of each and every one of us. It's easy to just go through the motions sometimes. And I got to tell you, I'm guilty of it. I don't want to. I cry out to God. I don't want to just go through the motions. I want to experience you. I want our celebration to be just that, a celebration every Sunday when we come in this place. That we experience you. But we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. We're going to read 1 through 4. So if you want to turn there with me, and I'm going to read that. Because this is the beginning of the ecclesia, the church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Organization by the Holy Spirit of what we refer to today as the Church of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And I'm not going to even approach it. You've all heard all the stupid jokes about that. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is a phenomenon. This truly is a transition. There's no doubt about it. We're transitioning from old covenant to new covenant. The new covenant is now being poured out in the form of Holy Spirit in the lives of individuals. This is not just the Spirit resting on a congregation of people. This is the Holy Spirit coming and living inside of God's people. A Spirit that changes everything about us. A phenomenon that the world couldn't understand. They said, all those people are drunk. No, they might have been drunk. They were drunk on the Holy Spirit, not on the spirits of wine. They were empowered. They were filled. Pentecost literally means 50th day. And we refer to it as Pentecost, but realize, and as I already made mention, Pentecost didn't just start with the church. Pentecost was a Jewish Moedim, a Jewish festival that they celebrated every year. Passover was 50 days ago. Passover and first fruits, unleavened bread. That's when Jesus died on the cross. But now, something new was happening. A new transition was taking place. God's Spirit was coming to live inside of people. And it happened on Jewish Moedim. This is important for us to understand. You see, that's why I talk about these Jewish Moedims or God's Moedims or God's festivals. Because these things are God's calendar, not only for the past of what Christ did, they're God's calendar for the future of what He's going to do for us. And what's going to happen to fulfill each and every one of those feasts. There's three fall feasts yet to be fulfilled. And they're going to be fulfilled. And this one was fulfilled in an incredible way when the Holy Spirit was poured out. Everybody knew it. Everybody saw it. There was three festivals during this time that all the men had to come to Jerusalem to worship. Passover, Pentecost, and Sukkot is also one, or Booths was one of the festivals. It's a fall festival. But the reason that we see all these Jewish people in Jerusalem at this time when the Holy Spirit was poured out was because it was a mandate that they were all there. They were there with their families. So all the Jews from all over the kingdom, all over Rome, all over that area had come to Jerusalem for a Moedim of God to worship Him. It was actually a very simple festival. It was a waving of wheat, the first fruits of wheat. They would gather their first fruits of their wheat and take them, and the priest would wave it in front of God as a wave offering. And it was a time of feasting and enjoying the presence of God and the fellowship with one another. Very simple, but it was powerful. Because in this time, God chose to fulfill not only His feast, but He chose to fulfill the first fruits of those who would be born again by the power of Holy Spirit from that time forward. 3,000 on that day were saved. That was the first fruits. Of a vast, vast harvest that is still going on today. And it will continue until Christ returns. Shavuot, as I think I mentioned, it's a two-day festival. On Shavuot, we just read about God pouring out His Holy Spirit for the first time. And for the first time, as we recognize it, this is God's pouring His Spirit out on individuals who would receive Christ as their personal Savior. Prior to this, the Spirit came upon people. Individuals was given supernatural and spiritual powers, but never before was the Holy Spirit did it come to live inside of individuals like it was living at that point. It's important that we recognize the power of this, because there's more to this than just salvation. According to Acts 1:8, Jesus told us, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, And you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He was telling his followers, people who believed in him, who would for all intents and purposes were already born again, that they were going to receive something much more powerful than they had ever received before. The Holy Spirit of God. God Himself was going to empower them, to strengthen them, to encourage them, to cause them to be witnesses wherever they went. That promise has not ended. That promise is for today. In John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. That's Jesus' promise. That's part of what the Holy Spirit is all about, giving us that abundant life, abundance, parousos, beyond measure, advantage, superfluous, very highly exceptional, more than expected, beyond superfluous, beyond the norm. Special advantage. When you have the Holy Spirit, when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have special advantage. Special advantage over this world. Special advantage over the wiles of the devil. Special advantage over the things that the enemy wants to bring against you. That's why we can have testimony that even when things, it looks like things are falling apart, God is still in the midst of it. And He shows up and He provides in incredible ways. He meets our needs. He touches. He heals. He delivers. Where is our God? He's on the throne. He's ruling. But guess what? He's ruling through His people here on this earth, empowered with the Spirit of God. Jesus promised that He was going to give humans exceptional life with special advantage. And we, you know, if we're not careful, we get this all twisted up. We start thinking about material things and God's going to provide big house, big car, big bank account. And I'm not opposed to Him doing that. He does provide for His people. But this is more than any kind of materialism. This is the power to be a witness for Jesus Christ wherever we go. We may not have a penny in our pocket, like Peter and John. But what I give you, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. Many times people need so much more than any kind of material thing that we can offer them. And you should. If you have it and somebody needs it, we're supposed to give it. But we need more. We need the fullness of the Spirit of God inside of us that stirs us in such a way that when we see somebody that is in need, whatever that need is, we are able to manifest that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to meet that need. There is power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in the Spirit that lives inside of me. In order to experience the complete connection of the power source that God has for us, we must be completely and totally connected. Some are disconnected, and we want to get them connected. And how do we get them connected? We get them connected through Jesus Christ. You know, the early church had this. They said, grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. That's all about salvation. And that's how people get connected. That's what our purpose around here at Bethel is connecting people to God. Don't forget that. Wherever you go, tell people that's what we do. We connect people to God. And we do that in various ways, but the number one way that we connect people to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. But there's more power beyond just becoming connected for heaven's sake. There's power to walk in this earth. So this is just the initial phase. You know, around here in this church, you may be aware, you may not, but this church is a three-phase electrical system. And the reason that it's that way is because we need lots of power. Lots of lights, you know, the musicians, the instruments, all the things that we have here, our heating and all the stuff that we operate on electricity. We need more than just a two-phase system. We need a three-phase. And that three-phase system, if one of those legs go down, we are not operating completely and totally on the power that we should be. And I would say to believers that sometimes we're not operating in the complete power that we need to be operating in. We've not been completely and totally connected. We're only partially connected. Salvation is one thing, and it's awesome, and I want people to be saved. You can't go on to the complete connection without that first connection. But to just be partially connected is limited. It limits you in what God is able to use you for. Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, it says this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Verse 2, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Well, God does permit. There's no doubt about that. That literally means if He gives us a license to do it. And He has issued the license for us to go on from the elementary principles that Paul's talking about here. He wants us to grow up. Now, here's what I want to point out. The doctrine of baptisms. That's not a mistake there. The Greek word that is used, baptismo, is the plural form. He's talking about more than one baptism. Baptism, of course, we know is an immersion. We have to be immersed in something to be baptized. It means to be completely and totally immersed. The doctrine of baptisms is very important for us to understand in order to receive a complete connection. Because I believe there's three baptisms that we need to have in our life. Every person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the first baptism. He wants all believers to graduate from elementary school and eventually receive a doctorate degree. Not in theology, but a doctorate degree in spirituality. And there's a difference. You can have all kinds of doctrinal knowledge and theological knowledge. I've told you stories before that I have encountered individuals who had all kinds of education theologically, but he didn't really, this one individual that I'm talking about, he didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not downing education. I believe in education. I believe that it's very important. I believe that theological education is important. But what happens is that people get all this head knowledge and they miss the heart issue. And that's what it's really all about. I'm all for the head knowledge, but I want the heart more. I want my heart to be pliable and empowered more than I want to have the head knowledge. So we need three baptisms. And God is going to bring us to the place where we can have this doctrinal spirituality that He wants us to have. God has given us that license that I just talked about to go on. In this spirit walk, we have the opportunity to complete a total connection to God the Father. And we have it in the Word of God. We know exactly what we're supposed to do. And with these three baptisms, we can become completely connected in order to live and walk in the Spirit according to the Word of God. If we walk in the Spirit, we don't have to worry about the flesh. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to battle the flesh, but you'll overcome the flesh when we walk in the Spirit. When you receive Christ, I want you to understand, it's an act of your will. Every one of these baptisms that I'm talking about is an act of your will. Anybody who says, well, if God wants me to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, He'll just pour it on me. No, He won't. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism in water, and baptism in Christ are all by faith. And you receive it or you reject it by faith. That's the power. It's available. All you have to do is connect to it. So I just mentioned, baptism is Christ. You receive Christ as the first baptism, and you're baptized in Christ by the Holy Spirit. You're water baptized by believers in Jesus Christ. And you are baptized in the Holy Spirit by Jesus. So the key to these three baptisms is to understand who is baptizing whom. The Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus for 1 Corinthians. Now I'm going to try to move on with this as quickly as I can so that I can touch on all these points. Holy Spirit baptizes us in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Who did the baptizing into the body? The Spirit does the baptizing. He led us into this relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. According to Ephesians 2:18, for through Him we have access by the Spirit to the Father. Because of this Spirit baptizing you in Christ, you have been reconciled to the Father. We have been connected to the Father. Meister Eckhart, at the end of the 13th century, said this: two men please God. The one who serves God with all his heart because he knows God, and the one who seeks God with all his heart because he knows him not. Two men walking by faith. Second, disciples baptized in water. As I've said, each connection is made by faith. By faith, you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. By faith, you let somebody dunk you underwater. Come on, how ridiculous would it be? God, if you want me to be baptized in water, pick me up, take me back there in that baptismal and throw me in. Well, don't do it right now, it's empty. It might hurt. How ridiculous is that? No, you say, hey, I recognize that baptism in water is an important part of my salvation. I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven because you're baptized, but it's an important step that is important, that is a part of what we do as believers. Yes, it's an outward show of the inward experience that we had, but there's something very spiritual about being baptized. And if you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. You come up out of that water a new creature in Christ. It's different. And God never forced anybody to be baptized in water. He offers it. He gives it to you if you want it. He calls you, He woos you. He desires you, but it's by faith that you're baptized in water. I just want to read this scripture real quick because Jesus is our example. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And when John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, are you coming to me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. I just wanted to point that out, that Jesus is our example. It was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Huh? Amen. There's a few things that in all the Gospels that are recorded, the baptism of Jesus is one of them. And we know that the reason is because it is very, very important. Number three, the real point that I want to get to this morning. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11, "I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Woo! How is it that we can come into a place like this on Sunday morning, knowing that our God says, "I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire," and we can sit still in our seats and not dance around this whole building? I'm guilty, I know. I'm not just trying to make you feel guilty. We got to keep this in mind. This is what Jesus said that he was going to do. This is not a religious exercise when we come here. This is a worship of a living God who has placed his Spirit inside of us and has promised us that he is going to empower us to walk in this life every day. Way beyond religion. It's relationship that changes our life. So why should you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And there's various ways that people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people just ask, and they ask in faith, and they receive it. Many times they speak in an unknown language, or in what we refer to these days as a prayer language. Not always do people pray in that language initially. But if you ask God for it, it's part of that experience. It's a weapon that has been given to you. It's power. And that's a teaching all in itself. So I got to stop right there. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 11. I want to read that this morning. I've got to hurry. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, from 1 through 11, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance, the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judah and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey." Every time I read that, I get this image of this wild man out in the wilderness just preaching, teaching the word of God. And he preached saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here's what I want you to see in this. Number one, Jesus, I want you to see the three baptisms. First of all, Jesus was perfect in all his ways. He didn't need to be saved, right? He was the Savior. So he was perfect in all his ways. Second, by example, he set the example for us. He was baptized in water. And third, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit after being baptized in water. Three baptisms right there in the experience of Jesus and him sharing that and being the example for us so that we can see and understand how important this thing is. The Apostle Paul also received this baptism in the Holy Spirit after he was blind on the road to Damascus. And Ananias came and laid hands on him. And Paul received the fullness of the Spirit. Do you think Paul believed in Jesus after he saw this light and he heard the voice from heaven saying, "I'm Jesus, the one that you're persecuting"? You think he believed in him at that point? Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did. But he still needed something in his life. He still needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I want to share something with you. A statement by Martin Lloyd-Jones. And Martin Lloyd-Jones was certainly not known as a Pentecostal. His doctrine of theology was the Reformed Church. When he was the pastor at Westminster Chapel in London, England, near the end of his time as pastoring, some of the people said it was, you know, he was phenomenal at that period of his time. He said this to his people. He said, "I want to talk to you today about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You may call it what you want, but I want to know, have you experienced the fullness of the Spirit? I know all of you listening to me come as I do from a Reformed background, but it's not good enough. I know that all of you would want to say to my question about the Holy Spirit, well, we got it all at conversion. There's no need for any more experience." "Well," said Martin Lloyd-Jones, "I have only one other question to ask you. If you got it all at conversion, where in God's name is it?" What a question, huh? But But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That's what it's all about. It's spiritual power being released in our lives. In 1871, Sarah Cook and Mrs. Hawkshurst attended church where 34-year-old D.L. Moody was pastor. He was a very earnest preacher, but there was no fire in his words. And they prayed, and they told him, "We're praying for you, Pastor. You need the fullness of the Spirit." He listened. And before long, he started praying and asking God for the Spirit. And he said one day, his experience, he rolled on the floor in the midst of many tears and groans and cried for God to baptize him with the Holy Spirit and fire. You see, when we get that serious about wanting the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire in our lives, God will show up. Here's how Moody described it. "One day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. Paul had an experience of which he never spoke for 14 years. I can only say that God revealed himself to me, and I had such an experience of his love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. Moody was sure that if God did not lift his hand, he would die." A few months later, 1873, he planned a preaching experience to Britain, to the British Isles. Moody began to preach, but something had changed. His messages were the same, but there was something about his preaching that made a difference in people's lives. Moody was hardly known when he went overseas. But while he was over there, the power of the Holy Spirit began to descend on people. The power of the Holy Spirit began to woo people. The power of the Holy Spirit began to call people into the kingdom. And great, vast numbers of people received Christ as their personal Savior. I don't know if any other miracles took place during Moody's ministry or not. I've never read of any. But God does what God wants to do. But what I'm talking about this morning is the empowerment of the Spirit and how it makes a difference in individual lives. When D.L. Moody came back to the States, he was known all over the nation. Merely because, not because of him. Moody was a very uneducated man. Not because of him, but because of the Spirit of God that was inside of him. The power that was released in the name of Jesus Christ. His trip to England was little known. But from England, the news rapidly spread. This is a man of God. And the power of God rests upon him. The question is, do you want to be baptized in the Spirit with the fire, with the incredible power of God? Because part of the criteria for receiving is a desire for more. Believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you. If you don't believe that, I can pray all day for you. I can lay hands. I can stomp around you. I can spit. I can do all the things that Pentecostals do. But it's not going to do any good. You have to believe. You have to receive. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Christ as Savior by faith, baptism in water by faith, baptism in the Holy Spirit by faith. Jake, will you bring me that? Yes, thank you. Those of you who have seen me use this before, please don't ruin it for everybody else. Okay, let me see what I've got here. Can everybody see this okay? Yeah, okay. What is it? I'm sorry, what? Yeah, it is a vegetable, and it's a puny little cucumber. It was the only thing I could find at Dollar General. Oh. Wow, it's pitiful. But it is a cucumber. And what are these? Pickles. No, not really. I mean, technically, yeah. But you know what they are? They're baptized cucumbers. They're baptized in a solution that literally changes their taste, changes their texture. It doesn't completely change their appearance, but it a little bit. It preserves them. That's good, wife. Thank you. It does preserve them. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what it does in us. It preserves us for battle, and it makes many changes inside of us. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that you get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you become a perfect Christian. That's not the way it works. It's for power to be a witness. The Holy Spirit is still working inside of you, doing the sanctification process that needs to be done in each and every one of us. Someday we will be perfect, but it's not today. When Jesus comes, we definitely will be able to experience that perfection in our lives. So what we're going to do, we're going to ask the Father for more of His Spirit. Luke 11:11 says this, 11 through 13, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will we offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? More of the Holy Spirit. You know, as a father, a grandfather, I do almost anything for my children. When they ask for something, I try to give them more than they ask for. Something's happening to our three-phase system. Ooh. So when you ask, God will pour it out upon you. Believe and receive. A few years ago, I was doing a class teaching basic doctrines of Bethel, and Bob Taylor was one of the students in that class, and he didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but he was eager to learn, and he asked questions, and I answered the questions to the best of my ability. We prayed, and nothing really happened. You know, he didn't speak in tongues. He didn't have a prayer language. But I told him, I said, first of all, Bob, you know, God's not going to force you to speak. You got to open your mouth and begin to utter something. And that's how it comes. And second, just believe that God's going to pour that on you. You know, when you act in faith, it will come. He left this building, went down to Locust Grove, turned on to Locust Grove, and immediately started praying in the Spirit all the way home. That's just one example. I can give you example after example. It's a a weapon that has been given to us, that prayer language. But not everybody exercises that. You can. I believe anyone can, because if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's in you. You got to release it. And it's an awesome weapon. But God doesn't force you to pray in the Spirit. You should be ready to exercise that gift at any given time. If your leader, if the person up front recognizes that there's spiritual warfare going on in this place or any other place that you are in when you're worshiping God, and you have the ability and you know that it's in you to pray in the Spirit, and they say, pray in the Spirit right now, you should do it. They're not trying to manipulate you in any way. They're trying to engage you in this battle that we are in, so that you can recognize that you have spiritual power. And when we unite in that spiritual power together, the forces of hell, they don't have a chance against one of us, but when we unite together, they flee like rats on a sinking ship. That's who we are in Christ. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. So by faith, you're going to receive. By faith, we're going to pray. You ask the Father, how much more of the Holy Spirit will He give you if you ask Him? And then you receive. One of the ways you receive is by laying on of hands. It's a simple, very simple process. Has nothing to do with the individuals laying hands. Has nothing to do with you. It has to do with power of Holy Spirit. We just receive. So this morning, if there's anyone that would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please come up. I want to pray with you. I want to see you empowered. I want to see the goodness of God just poured out on you. Come up, please. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.